The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today.
And the doctors told me, you'll have to learn to manage these conditions for the rest of your life because there's no cure.
On the outside, Jennifer Crow seemed to have everything, but her seemingly perfect life was a perfect lie that came crashing down in a major health and emotional crisis.
I thought the perfect Christian was this personality type in a box.
Perfect Lies, next.
It is a joy to share this time with you, and we appreciate the opportunity. Thank you for spending it with us. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. Betty, several weeks back, I sat down with Mark Crow, who's pastor of Victory Church in Oklahoma City. I think they have satellite churches in Edmond and several areas right there, maybe in Norman. It's been quite effective outreach. And we had a tremendous time just fellowshipping, and Jennifer, his wife, was with us. And she actually just listened to Mark and me talk about a lot of things. But when we left, Jennifer handed me her book, like a lot of people do. And the publisher will send them to us because they say everybody wants to come be on Life Today. They want to be with Betty. They want to meet Betty and talk to Betty, the same reason a lot of you watch. I know that. Thanks for putting up with me. But as I read, I actually began to scan through it. And it really touched my heart because, you see, Jennifer sang with Oral Roberts and traveled with the group when she was a college student. And yet she reached a point in her Christian life and what was going on that was incredible. And all of that she was diagnosed with defies imagination. How anybody can live with it, how they can handle it. And look what she said. Look how she titled it, because here she's a Christian. And she's traveling with Oral Roberts and the singers. And a lot of people are seeing them on television and as they travel. Perfect lives, and she scratched through it and put lies. Overcoming 9 hidden beliefs that stand between you and a healthy, joy-filled life. 9 beliefs. They must be lies that we believe. Well, let's welcome Jennifer Crow to Life Today. And let's talk to her. Jennifer, glad you're here.
Thank you.
I couldn't believe. I was shocked. I was stunned at what. But just tell us, what our viewers, what in the world were you diagnosed with? What was going on?
You know, I was a pastor's wife, mother of 5 children, Christian, believed the Word of God, but I came to a point in my life where I kept getting sicker and sicker.
And you're talking about physically.
Physically ill, yeah. I went from having laryngeal reflux disease, a gallbladder full of gallstones, uterus full of fibroid tumors, chronic fatigue syndrome, Epstein-Barr virus, hormones. I was only 40 years old, but I had hormones on the level of an 80-year-old woman. Incredible pain throughout my body. I began having panic attacks that might happen before I went out on stage to lead worship, that I couldn't control myself. I couldn't settle down, and I couldn't lead worship.
Well, being a preacher, can I just interrupt here and say, please tell me it wasn't just because you were married to a preacher?
Well,
did that contribute sometimes?
Pressure. There's pressure, but it's not just people in the ministry. I what I've found, people all over the world feel the pressure of these lies. No matter what socioeconomic or what.
So you're saying that what was going on in your life was the result of believing the wrong things and putting on a front to try to hide.
That's what I came to find out. I didn't know it at first, but that's what I came to find out. One doctor finally said to me, "Well, I think you're depressed." And I said, "Well, wouldn't you be depressed if you had all these ailments? I had chronic hoarseness." But I said to him,
"And you were a singer."
Yeah, and I was a singer. And I said to him, "But I'm not depressed. I can't be depressed. I'm a Christian. I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I have a husband who loves me. My kids are doing well in school. I have a house. I have a congregation that loves me." I couldn't find a reason that I was depressed. But I came to find, James, when I had a complete, pretty much breakdown. I had to stop leading worship. I had to stop even attending church except for once a week. I was going everywhere with Mark, 5 worship experiences per week. And I came to a point where I couldn't function. And the church was so sweet to bring food to our family every other day. But I couldn't function. And the doctors told me, you'll have to learn to manage these conditions for the rest of your life because there's no cure. It's just, and there's just something that'll have to be managed.
Was there something particular that started this onslaught of everything? I mean, anything going on in your life that really just, all of a sudden all these things were happening to you and all these illnesses?
You know, the way I was, Betty, I was kind of a perfectionist, Miss Goody Two Shoes, always trying to be the perfect Christian. And I think the larger our church got, the more opportunities there was for failure or for dropping the ball. And I think that as the church grew, I began to just put more and more pressure on myself. I got to the point where if I saw a load of dirty clothes on the floor that I hadn't gotten around to washing, the thought would come in my mind that I'm not a good mother or I'm not a good housewife. And this was, multiply that by thousands per day, just kind of beating myself up internally. But honestly, these weren't conscious thoughts. If you would have asked me, I wasn't aware. But what I found was that when we become a Christian, our spirit is renewed. But many times there are what the Bible calls strongholds in our mind that are actually programmed because of the way we've been raised and because of just sin nature. Doesn't matter if you're raised in the perfect home. You still have things in your mind that are not thinking
straight. All your thoughts
straight.
Are not your own. They're fiery darts of the wicked. They're
That's
suggestions
right.
from the enemy or accusations from the enemy or lies from the enemy that lodge. That's what makes them, they take root. That's
yes.
what makes them fiery.
You're right.
And they are tormentors and they become a stronghold. They have a grip on you. Now, you talk about overcoming the hidden beliefs, the lies, the perfect lies. Somehow
yes.
they were perfect enough that you believed them.
Right. They just have a little touch of truth, just like in the Garden of Eden.
Tell us what some of them were, because you hammer it here.
Right. Things like...
And by the way, did getting to know this break the yoke, reverse the trend?
Getting to know it was the first part of it, James, but the second part of it was learning how to identify the pictures that were lodged in my brain. Because you know, our bodies think in the form of pictures. Jesus knew this because he spoke in parables.
Right.
It's so easy to communicate a truth in a
Absolutely.
Picture. So what I learned how to do was to identify those false pictures that were bringing pain and stress into my life and to actually take 5 minutes to ask myself, what's the truth of this picture? And how would the picture look differently than what I'm remembering if I shine the light of truth on it?
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus were in the picture, what would his response be? What would his reaction be based on the Word of God?
All right, what happened? What are the lies and what happened?
One of the lies, for example, is I'm not lovable. You know, if I don't measure up to the expectations of others, I'm not acceptable. Another lie, I am not able. I've got to pull back because there are other people a lot more qualified than me. And so I better get in the shadows because I'm not able or I'm not good enough. Another one is I'm a target, feeling that all around me, people are kind of out to get me. All of these lies come from legitimate things that may have happened to us that contribute to them. But the truth is that when we have Jesus who is with us and he never leaves us, it really doesn't, you don't have to have this defensive posture, always, you know, trying to protect yourself. Another lie was, I'm deprived. I've got to have that next big thing. You know, I'm not okay unless I get that boyfriend or get that husband or get that child or until my child grows up and go to school or until I get that job. A sense of feeling deprived. And all of those things, whereas they may seem true, I found are absolutely not true.
Okay, so what happened as you, and I know you and I talked with Betty privately while we were mm-hmm. having a meal together, mm-hmm. and you talked about the power of meditating on the Word of God.
Right.
And I found the Word renews our mind. We are
yes.
washed in the water of the Word. His Word really does cleanse us. There is power in the Word and to renew your mind, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you've come to understand the importance of meditation, but I want to know what happened to get you out of this despair and all of these diagnoses of mm-hmm. terrible illnesses that were legitimate. They weren't something that you just went through the motion of trying to say this is a fact. It was a fact. It was easy to diagnose by
yes.
the medical community.
Yes.
What began the breakthrough?
You know, I began working with someone who helped me to learn how to meditate on the truth. And the very first thing that I did was, they said, picture yourself as unconditionally loved. And at that point in my life, I didn't feel that my husband loved me. I didn't feel my children loved me unconditionally. I didn't feel my parents loved me unconditionally. I was so, by that time, so depressed. Mm-hmm. I felt like everyone was just trying to get something from me. And so what I...
You didn't feel unconditionally loved by God?
He was the only one.
Okay.
And so I thought, who really does love me, no matter what I do? And as I was sitting in my bathrobe, sick, not able to function, I pictured God the Father sitting next to me on the couch with His arm around me. I know that sounds kind of silly.
No, it doesn't.
But that's what I pictured.
He loves that.
I pictured Jesus Christ sitting on this
Absolutely.
Side of me, and He was holding my hand like this.
Mm-hmm.
I pictured the Holy Spirit. You say, well, what does the Holy Spirit look like? I don't know, but I pictured Him sitting on the ottoman in front of me, looking at me. And you know what they were saying to me? They were saying, Jennifer, it's so nice to just be sitting here with you. And they weren't saying to me, get up, get dressed, go claim your healing. They weren't saying to me, you know, go perform. They were saying, Jennifer, we don't care if you sit here forever because we are just so happy sitting here with you mm-hmm. because we love you. And we don't care if you ever get up off that couch. We're not in a hurry mm-hmm. and we love you. That, you know, and when I even think of it now, I begin to relax.
Let me
I begin
just tell you,
to feel
that's
peace.
God, Jennifer. That, yeah. is, that, isn't, yeah. That isn't a, an imagination. That's not self-hypnosis. That's just who He is.
And He wants us to sit and listen.
Absolutely.
And let, give Him Lady time Rose. To tell us how much He loves us.
He's and, you not know, the one telling us, you got to measure
oh,
up.
Oh, no. And I mm-hmm. think so many times, I know it was for me that I grew up thinking I had to do, when I had to do the talking, when it was, you know, I didn't want to pray in front of anybody else because I was so afraid that mm-hmm. I wasn't going to use the right words mm-hmm. or pray the right way that everybody else would say, oh my goodness, you know, mm-hmm. what a terrible prayer she is. You know? But when I realized that when I'm at that time of meditation, whatever you want to call it, being alone with God, mm-hmm. I don't have to have all those words because mm-hmm. He is God. And He's saying, just sit at my feet mm-hmm. and let me tell you about you.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you how much I love you.
Yes.
And when I realized that, I thought, I don't have to have all the beautiful words. It's just beautiful sitting at His feet and allowing that rest and that peace to come mm-hmm. just from being in His presence.
Yes. And He loves you mm-hmm. just the way you mm-hmm. are, the way He made you. You don't have to be like James. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think for all of my life, I felt that I had to measure up to this one or to that one or to that one. I thought the perfect Christian was this personality type in a box. I'm not that way. I'm more introverted. I'm more, my children call me eccentric. I don't know. But what God said to me throughout this healing process was, Jennifer, I made you, and I'm just crazy about you.
Mm-hmm.
The way you are.
I hear that every
You
night.
Have your little quirks, and you have your little idiosyncrasies, but I think they're adorable. And I'm telling you that after 6 weeks of practicing 5 minutes at a time, sitting quietly on purpose,
yeah.
3 to 5 times a day, because I couldn't do anything else. I was so sick. I began feeling such a peace and joy, you guys, that I didn't care if I got healed.
Mm-hmm.
I was
That's
like,
great.
Oh my word, I feel so wonderful mm-hmm. that I don't care if I ever get rid of the pain because I feel so much peace. And it was about 6 weeks after that I was laying in my bed after just having a quiet time of meditation that I felt a heat go from the top of my head all the way to about halfway down. And I fell asleep and I slept for the first time for 6 hours straight, for the first time in months. The next night I slept for 7 hours straight. That was unheard of for me. And it was only a few months later that I had one more panic attack. And that was over 8 years ago. I've not been on any prescription medication and had no more panic attacks.
I'm telling you what, now listen to me, this is great. And she just really inspires you. You know, Jennifer, I got to tell everybody that God tells this old grubby old codger, you know, I'm an old, I just go ahead and say it, I'm an old guy, because you're an old guy, Dad, quit saying it. My kids say, well, Grandkid, don't say it, Papa, you're not old. Okay, all right, whatever. God tells me all the time how crazy, he tells me I'm a hoot. He says, I get a kick out of you, man. And you know what? I feel that love when I know I'm in a mess.
Yes.
I know everything I'm doing is not exactly right. I know my attitude may not be right about something. I may not be talking right to Betty.
Yeah.
And God says, I don't really like the way you're talking to her, boy. You're talking to your bride, and I told you how to love her. But he really is still loving me, and he wants to help me.
Yes.
He's not anxious to beat up on me. No. He wants to love me. And I hear what you were saying a moment ago over and over and over. I just like you.
Yeah.
I like being with you. Yeah. I like you to be with me. I like you to get in my lap. Let me hold you.
Yeah.
This is really, really important. And all those diagnosed diseases, all those ailments, 8 years, isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
And I can tell you've got peace. You had peace sitting there when I was talking to Mark, your husband, and we were just going at it. But you were sitting over there just listening the same way Betty would have been to this list. But you had peace. And I want to thank you for giving me the book so that I could see your story and want you to come and share with our viewers, because I'm telling you, there's a tremendous number of people, if not the vast majority of people that I see, that I speak to, wherever I'm in an auditorium, coliseum, or a church, and people on television, I know you do not feel loved, you do not feel important. If you could only know you're the apple of his eye, you're the pearl of great price to God, he loves you so much. Father, I pray everybody listening right now will hear you, not me, telling them how much you love them and how you want to bless them. In Jesus' name, I will tell you this. Now, don't miss this. He wants to bless you, but he wants to bless others through you. You see, there are people who need to hear what God thinks about them, expressed by somebody who can express the love of God to them, can share with them what God feels about them. Demonstrate it. In other words, Holy Spirit power in human flesh behaving like Jesus toward others. Betty, that's what we have a chance to do all the time in the outreaches of life. We get to give love, not in word only, but in action, in deed. We get to demonstrate the love of God. We show it to them before we tell them about it. We let them see it. Seeing is so often believing. Actions speak louder than words. I want you to look at a very obvious need that we don't hope we can meet. We can meet it. You can help meet it. You really can. You can be the miracle in somebody's life right now. And I think you're going to want to be. Just watch this and just say, God, how can I make a difference? And you'll see.
Water, water, everywhere, but not a drop to drink. That well-known line from the poem is about a mariner at sea. But it could have been written for this village. It's not the availability of water. It's the condition.
If your child scooped this up and went to take a drink, how fast would you knock it from their hands?
It literally is poison. But it's a poison these people are forced to drink every day. And each time they do, their lives are shortened. Those affected most are the children. Immune systems weaken, fighting a battle they should not have to fight. But we're encouraged because we know what's possible with your help. Yes, we too see water everywhere. But what our eyes see is water that will save their lives. And this water usually opens the door for the water which will leave them thirsting no more.
Boy, I want you just to look at that that little child. Betty, all those images really captured me, but I wanted them to back up and let us see that little child. And that's a precious, I think, little boy. And he's desperate. He's desperate for water. To put it in the most absolute terms, he's desperate for life, another day, another chance. And that little fellow with all that diligence is drinking slow death, ultimately painful death, that he doesn't have to drink. And I noticed that child, but not before God noticed the child. And then the missionaries, precious missionaries, they noticed the child. And then they called our attention to the child, and I'm calling your attention to the child, and I promise you, I know what God's saying. Did you see what I see? Do you feel what I feel? Will you be the expression of my love? Would you put my hands out to that child? Would you give that child a cup of clean water? And Jesus said, I promise you, if you will, you won't lose your reward. Let him define what that is. Don't start speculating about what you might get if you give a child a chance. Just know that Jesus said, you give a cup of water in my name. How about a well of water? How about hope and an opportunity? That's what we do together. We give wells. We are committed with your help, God's grace, displayed and expressed through you, we're committed to drill 500 wells in 12 countries. Would you drill one of them if you can? Could you give $4,800 or part of it, $1,200 or $2,400, and pray for others to match yours? Would you help us give water to 30 people? That's $144. $48 will give 10 people, literally. 10 people water the rest of their life. Would you do it? All of our viewers join in. Betty can solve that crisis. Water everywhere, but it's contaminated. We can give them clean water. We're going to work to do whatever it takes, and we're going to do it together. Would you dial the number and take your bank card and use it like a check? If you write a check, make it to life. But call us and tell us your money, please. Father, I pray everybody watching will notice those little children the way you do, and that we will be the answer to their prayers and their cry. In Jesus' name, please go to the phone, go get your card, go to lifetoday.org, go online and make the gift God put in your heart. Thank you for helping us, those children. Thank you for helping us touch those families with water. Water for life. And we're going to tell them about the water of life.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Lord, I just thank God for you, for your help. We're going to send you, for any gift, Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, great devotions for the morning and evening with Beth Moore. If you'd like to have Jennifer's book, Perfect Lies, How the Enemy Operates, great stuff. Be so happy to send it to you. And you may want to visit their church, Victory Church, sometime in the Oklahoma City area, several campuses. And we just say thanks to all of you for helping us. I do want to mention that on our website, lifetoday.org, if you want some help with managing the resources God's given you, go to our estate planning services. We'll send you something that'll help you get things in order. If you're Betty's age, my age, getting a little older like we are, be married 50 years very soon, you can do some things to help the family. You can also do some things for the kingdom of God that you might not know that would be very beneficial and meaningful to you as well as to all the lives you'll touch. Lifetoday.org, check that out. Well, we want to thank Jennifer for being with us. Would you join us? Just saying thanks to Jennifer. God bless you. Bless Mark.
Thank you.
Bless Victory Church. Thanks for coming to be with us. God bless all of you. Meditate in His Word. He'll renew your mind, transform your life.
In the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come be a part of the Life Today studio audience. Call or email today to reserve your tickets. You'll be inspired and entertained. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.